Violet tried to remember as far back as she could, but everything seemed as misty as it did in the mountains. She could see the face of her mother and her father standing behind her, wearing a suit as black as the ashes of VFD headquarters. Their mouths were open, but Violet could not remember what they were saying. No matter how hard she tried, the memory was as silent as the grave. "Nobody said them to me," she said finally. "Someone sang them. I think my parents sang the words, 'The world is quiet here,' a long time ago, but I don't know why." She opened her eyes and faced her brother and her friend. "I think we might be doing the wrong thing," she said. "But we agreed," Quigley said, "to fight fire with fire." Violet nodded and stuck her hands in her pocket, bumping up against the bread knife again. She thought of the darkness of the pit and the scream Esme would make as she fell into it. "I know we agreed," Violet said. "But if VFT really stands for Volunteer Fire Department, then they're an organization that stops fire. If everyone fought fire with fire, the entire world would go up in smoke." "I see what you mean," Quigley said. "If the VFD motto is, 'The world is quiet here,' we ought to be doing something less noisy and violent than trapping someone, no matter how wicked they are." "When I was looking into the pit," Klaus said quietly, "I was remembering something I read in a book by a famous philosopher. He said, whoever fights monsters should see to it that in the process he does not become a monster. And when you look long into an abyss, the abyss also looks into you." Klaus looked at his sister, and then at the sight of Esme approaching, and then at the weakened wood that the three children had placed on the ground. "Abyss is a fancy word for pit," he said. "We built an abyss for Esme to fall into. That's something a monster might do." Quigley was copying Klaus's words into his commonplace book. "What happened to that philosopher?" he asked. "He's dead," Klaus replied. "I think you're right, Violet. We don't want to be as villainous and monstrous as Count Olaf." "But what are we going to do?" Quigley asked. "Sunny is still Olaf's prisoner, and Esme will be here at any moment. If we don't think of the right thing right now, it'll be too late." As soon as the triplet finished his sentence, however, the three children heard something that made them realize it might already be too late. From behind the archway, Violet, Klaus, and Quigley heard a rough, scraping sound as the toboggan reached the bottom of the waterfall and slid to a halt, and then a triumphant giggle from the mouth of Esme Squalor. The three volunteers peeked around the archway and saw the treacherous girlfriend step off the toboggan with a greedy smile on her face. But when Esme adjusted her enormous flame-imitating dress and took a step toward the smoking, verdant, flammable devices, Violet was not looking at her anymore. Violet was looking down at the ground just a few steps from where she was standing. Three dark, round masks were sitting in a pile where Violet, Klaus, and Quigley had left them upon arriving at the ruins of headquarters. They had assumed that they would not need them again, but the eldest Baudelaire realized they had been wrong.
End of Disc 4.